It's just loading. Great, we're live. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Online Events Made Simple Live, a bumper episode this week, you lucky people. This is the second one this week. I'm Rhianne, I'm sure you know, I'm the marketing manager at EventMind, and I'm joined today with the lovely Jennifer Brisman, the founder and CEO of Vow. Jennifer, would you like to introduce yourself?
Good morning. Yes, my name is Jennifer Brisman. I'm the founder and CEO of Vow. We're a company committed to transforming the future of work through technology for event meeting and hospitality professionals everywhere. I'm also a 20-year event industry expert. I've been based in and around the city for the past two decades, and I've produced over 600 corporate, social, and headline entertainment events. And it's exciting to be here with you today.
Perfect. I'm so happy to have you on. Thank you so much. I know it's a bit early for you right now, but we really appreciate it. And who is Vow? So like you said, I know you've got a massive background. Where did Vow come from and how did it start?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as a young event professional, I was always looking for ways to systematize a lot of the things that I was doing. I wanted to really shorten the number of steps in all the repetitive workflows. I wanted to get everybody on the same page quicker. I wanted to move through some of my day-to-day quicker, just so that I could get to being more interactive with clients, so I could spend more time with my clients, so I could spend more time ideating and bringing good things to life. And so I really conceived this world in which, you know, there were systems that made us quicker and faster and better, and do it in kind of one centralized place with all the people that you collaborate with every day. So that's kind of where the evolution of Vow started, was with me and some of my own pursuits and my need to be faster and my need to reduce the number of steps and things. And so that is effectively what I'm doing with Vow. I'm building B2B2C tools for event, meeting, and hospitality professionals. So our roadmap is focused on helping professionals with the day-to-day tools and tasks that they need to really move fast through their workflows. Our hero product, so to speak, is a centralized communications hub. And it allows event, meeting, and hospitality pros to communicate both in private channels as a company, but also in private channels around events. Right now, we work in like a highly, highly fragmented way. We're moving through
email
and text and phone and video and Dropbox and WhatsApp and even pen and paper, and it's totally inefficient. And so Vow allows us to communicate around a project in particular topics of communication, and keep everything super streamlined. So every back and forth, every nugget is always in context. It's always the right people, and it's always at the right time. And the system's intuitive, and it learns as you go what you're doing and how you're doing it. And then the next feature on our product roadmap, which we're about to unveil, is our task management. So it's both communication and task management in one place.
That's amazing. And I think there might be a slight freeze here, but as long as I can hear you, you can hear me. That's the main thing. I know that you started an app and you've just...
Yeah, so, sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, yes. Apologies. I think I might be having some tech issues.
That's okay. That's okay. So the communication and task management tool is in fact web-based, and there's an app along with it so that you can communicate from anywhere with anyone, and it's in real time. So you're doing it actually, in fact, slightly faster than text, and you can do that from anywhere in the world. And then the newest feature on our product roadmap, which we're excited about, is Vow Digital Health. And it's a highly specialized partnership with IBM Watson. It is the first COVID-19 workplace and event safety solution. And it's really helping venues, vendors, businesses, their suppliers, their customers, and event organizers get back to live. And it's really helping this whole ecosystem get its revenue back in the black. So it systematizes digital health, ingesting of text tests and vaccines, amazing, and then reporting around that for visibility. You know, our business models in the event space all touch each other. What we do on a Friday night affects what happens on a Saturday night. And so if there's an issue or an outbreak or somebody gets sick on a Friday night, well, then it implicates all of the money that's being spent the next day. So events are only as safe as everyone touching them. And so we've put in place a really flexible, automated way to manage COVID-19 digital health, along with the entire ecosystem, a corporate concierge, if you will, of tests, test kits, tools, compliance officers, leadership, personnel, thermal scanners, whatever any corporate or organizer needs to bring a COVID-19 safe event or workforce to life.
That's amazing. And obviously it's so relevant right now. I know everyone's kind of, well, anyone within the events industry has faced kind of challenges the past year. How have you found it affect your role? Is this what kind of made you kind of take your role the next step further, or?
I mean, it's, you know, it forces you to be agile. One of the things about being any type of event pro is more oftentimes than not, you don't get a rehearsal. Events are not standing out. We're all wholly dependent on one another for success. So it's just really made me dig in deeper and be agile and think about new gaps, new needs in the role in the road ahead. I don't think anybody looking back, let's say last April, thought we would still be here in February. I don't think anybody
did.
And so the timeline of this event of COVID-19 has really blown a lot of our expectations and plans out of the water. So I really forced myself to look at, you know, the sort of immediacy of what the needs were, what the gaps were, and how do we do something as simple as get businesses back in the black? And that's kind of what we're focused on with the partnership with IBM Watson.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And I know yesterday you attended our fireside chat, so we really appreciate that. It was a really good chat. And we kind of covered it there, but for people listening, where do you see events in the next year, in the next 5 years? I know we talked a lot yesterday about hybrid being kind of the new thing of the year. Where do you see it going?
Yeah, so I think that people are clamoring for in real life experiences.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that every day. I think, listen, we've all been on treadmills. We've all been on treadmills for the last 20 years. Certainly if we have kids and busy lives, we're moving at breakneck speed all the time. And so I think obviously there's a huge portion of the population that is leaning into being able to work from home, not commuting, being around their families and family time more. But I do think that people are in fact eager to get back to real life. I know that I am. I miss in-person meetings, even in the startup ecosystem, in the event industry, you know, these connections that make us feel alive. And so I do think that the budgets, the need, the demand, the throughput of events will just explode as soon as it is deemed safe to really start to come back. And so I think that's going to start to happen towards the end of the summer. I think we're going to start to see people put deposits down in mass on the hottest nights to have events. I think we're going to see people gathering in small groups and large groups. I think we're going to find our way back to concerts and sporting events. We're seeing it now with the Super Bowl. And so I think what's amazing is that I think events could be by this time next year, 10x of what they were in 2018. And I think that will have a positive impact, not just on the IRL events, but also on anything that's touching the virtual space. Because ultimately at the end of the day, those budgets will always be limited in how much money goes into them until IRL events come back. And they're a really big revenue stream, even bigger than before. So I'm pretty excited for the road ahead.
Yes, exactly. And I'm afraid, I think we've had some tech issues, but it just shows, you know, things with virtual, it just doesn't go as planned all the time. So that's a really good point. For event organizers listening, what kind of advice do you have for them who might be worried about there being tech issues? Because I think we're all kind of worried now with, you know, your first virtual event, is there going to be tech issues? What should I be aware of? What's your advice to event organizers?
Yeah, so what I've been saying kind of all along is that number one, events are in fact omnichannel. We keep throwing them into these buckets of virtual and hybrid and live, but events are omnichannel, right? All of these are another tool in the toolbox. What I think the only important thing that event producers think about when they're producing any events is where those measures are of security for the event itself. So if you are in fact planning a virtual event, one of the important things you can do is have certain pieces that have been taped before, certain pieces that might be content driven or static, certain pieces that don't require as much bandwidth in the moment, and space those into your program accordingly so that you are not always dependent on that stream. You're not always dependent on, you know, that bandwidth or that connection at a point in time. So one of the most important things you can do is not only ensure connectivity, but even if you have connectivity, it also depends on all of the participants and attendees attending your event. So, you know, obviously, you know, there are certain technologies that are better than other that can ramp that up. And some of the virtual platforms are in fact doubling down and investing in them. But sometimes they matter, sometimes they don't. But I think the important thing is to realize that just like in real life, events are imperfect and have spontaneity, good or bad, so too will virtual. And so that kind of mindset has to be plugged in to what you do and how you do it. You have to have moments where you're not dependent on live, and you have to have sort of the mental stamina to say, it's okay if things aren't perfect, and know how to rock and roll with that accordingly. And some of that comes down to a really good MC. Some of that comes down to planning, and some of that comes down to what the event is itself. Obviously, if you're watching the weekend, you know, and you cannot get a connection, you're going to wait through that connection. If you're listening to someone speak or it's a transition in a panel program, your motivation to kind of wait through it might be a little bit different. So it's tricky.
That's a really good point. And I think it just shows that, you know, I think it's just human life. Mistakes happen, things go wrong. But that's just life. And I think, you know, you can plan for as much as you want, but you don't know on the day if your internet's going to crash or speaker can't log in. So yeah, it just shows that things do go wrong. And just touching on Clubhouse, I know that you've been doing many Clubhouse chats with Ashanti, which is amazing. And I've been having a little root round in there, and it's super interesting and a really good way to kind of engage new audiences, I think. Where do you see Clubhouse going? How do you think event organizers could use it?
Wow, it's a really big question. I think if I knew, that'd be amazing. You know, there's a lot of saturated dialogue on Clubhouse. I think what people like about it is the spontaneity. It's the closest thing they have right now to networking in real life.
Yeah.
And so you can, it's like being at a conference and you're at one booth and you're talking to someone and they introduce you to someone else, and maybe you have a different dialogue with them, and the third person, maybe you exchange information, and the fourth person, maybe you meet up with later. And so I think Clubhouse right now, the sort of ethos, the you know, just the organic nature of it is really the closest thing we have. Just going to a restaurant or a club or a bar where there's probably going to be some faction of people who like what we like and want to talk about what we want to talk about there. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's also great, you know, it's not video based. You know, video based, people worry about what they look. there's like a whole, you know, psychological piece.
Yeah.
Seeing people face to face. So on Clubhouse, you're really only able to focus on people's words. And then obviously people take that conversation offline. I think it's possible that they could drive, they're going to drive more in terms of the actual networking piece. So the social networking piece, because obviously that is the virality, that is the strength of Clubhouse. So I think they're going to drive those pieces more. I think you're going to be able to sort by rooms and topics and conversations more. Maybe there'll be a bit of like, you know, audio AI. So if someone's talking about something specific, it'll show up in your feed. You know, but Clubhouse is pretty, I believe, pretty strong in that you can't record things and you can't put transcription on there. So I think they're still going to, you know, work to really maintain that, that what happens on Clubhouse stays on Clubhouse. Yeah. But I think all of the social connectivity and networking, I would imagine they'll ramp up.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it always gives you the sense of FOMO, like when everyone was talking about Clubhouse and I didn't have an invite, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm missing out on so much. So I really like the idea at the moment how it's invite only, because it gives you that kind of sense of exclusivity. Carry on.
They have a lot of people in there. I'm not sure it's exclusive, but listen, there's a lot of apps that as they evolve and they hit the market, they put them in a private beta for an elongated, especially a lot of social networking apps, they do that. So that's not uncommon.
No, definitely. Jennifer, it's been so lovely speaking to you today. Apologies for some of the tech issues. It must be my phone, my laptop knows it's Friday and it's shutting down for the weekend. But it's been so lovely to speak to you. And for everyone listening, where can they come and find you?
Absolutely. Well, you can go to www.vow.app, or you can email me at jennifer@vow.app.
Lovely. Nice and easy. Thank you everyone for listening or watching today. Apologies for a few tech errors, but it just shows things do go wrong sometimes. I hope you all have a lovely weekend and we'll see you all on the next episode.
Thank you so much for having me, including me yesterday. Have a good day.